Washington football team continues to make moves to improve the roster. The biggest signing in the last few days was Adam Humphries, new slot receiver, late of the Tennessee Titans, played in Tampa before that. Oh, and hey, he's buddies with Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do you know? That's how it works. Quarterbacks get their guy. Lots to discuss. Washington Football Talk podcast starts now.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Washington Football Talk podcast, joined by Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley. Mitch's dog Carver is the cat. What is the cat's name? Millie?
Yeah. Millie not around, Carver definitely around, but luckily Carver not causing a ruckus like he does normally because we aren't in person this time.
Dude, did I tell you guys about Banks getting hurt?
No.
You told me the story, but yeah, it's worth telling again.
All right, we'll do all that at the end. I have a couple of notes at the end.
For the record, Carver was disruptive one time, one and a half times, and it was 6 months ago.
For the record,
keep talking down on Carver.
For people that don't know, Mitch is very defensive of lots of things, and his dog is one of them, and other photographers are definitely one of them.
You mean I'm defensive of people that you guys talk S to?
Pete talks S to.
Who can't respond for themselves.
For the record, I never talk S to the photographers. Pete does, and I don't S talk Carver. Pete does.
You're right. This is all Pete. Pete, sounds Carver. Like you and I are going to have a problem.
No, let's get no, down thank to you. Here.
Adam Humphries, Washington football team signed him. This one makes a lot of sense. I think there are some injury concerns. He missed, I think, 13 or 14 games in the last 2 years, but they don't have a real slot guy. I know there's some thought of Curtis Samuel playing there, but I think when you pay him that much money and with how Scott Turner wants to be able to kind of use those movable pieces, I think you'll see Samuel on the outside plenty. I like the move. The biggest thing is that they weren't good enough at wideout, period. And I know a lot of fans really like Cam Sims and even Steven Sims and Isaiah Wright and on down the line. Last year when they broke camp, I think 80% of their wide receiver group was undrafted. Like at some point you need more talent. So now you got McLaurin's a third rounder, Samuel's a second rounder. Humphries is undrafted. But when you start, like Cam Sims to me is a really good, is a good option at fourth wideout. Cam Sims is not your second wide receiver. And I think they could add more in the draft. I wouldn't be surprised by that if they draft somebody else. I like the move. I think he's been really productive with Fitzpatrick in Tampa. And he was productive with Jameis too. People think all the production happened with Fitz, but they haven't had somebody that can really play that position since Crowder. Sims was small and quick, which is good, but he wasn't like a polished route runner. He didn't know how to like sit soft in those zones and just pick up yards for you. And Humphries can do that. I like the signing.
Yeah, I think a lot of their receivers last year were likable guys because they were undrafted and underdogs and everyone could kind of get behind them. But they needed more NFL talent. And that's not to say an undrafted guy can't become NFL talent. Adam Humphries is a great example of it. But you need guys who have proven that they can do it in the league. And this is a guy that's proven that he can do it in the league. And I think that obviously his experience and his familiarity with Ryan Fitzpatrick can help that out a lot. But they need to be better at wide receiver, like JP said, and this makes them better. They have three legitimate NFL talent starting wide receivers now, which is something that it's been a few years since they've had. So I think that's the biggest step in improving the passing game, improving verticality, improving guys getting open. The entire having a slot guy who can wiggle around in between the hashes and get open and knows how to do that at an experience level can help out this offense on so many levels. And I think that getting a guy like Humphries is a big get and can kind of help everyone across the board get better.
Yes. A year after the Washington football team probably had the worst collection of skill players, you now cannot make that argument. And I think you can make the argument they have a good collection. Now You don't have to squint at the depth chart and make up the places you're going to get production from. I mean, these guys still have to go out and produce. They have to be healthy. Samuel has to acquiesce to the way things happen in Washington, and Humphreys has to show he can be on the field. But you don't have to talk yourself into, okay, maybe Cam Sims can develop. Maybe Steven Sims can do this. No, you have guys who are proven, who are ascending in Samuel McLaurin and who's proven in Humphreys. So it's good. I think it's the best group of receivers they've had since 2016. In Garcon, Jackson, and Crowder. I don't know if they'll reach those heights, but you just have a well-rounded group of receivers, a rich, I wouldn't say rich, maybe that's a little bit far, but just a nice balanced group of from your running backs to your tight end and Logan Thomas to the receivers now. And in Humphreys and Samuel, it's two guys who can get it done on third down specifically, which is a nice way to keep drives going. That was something this group struggled with last year, sustaining those drives down the field.
One, did you say acquiesce in there?
Acquiesce. I hope I said acquiesce and not acquiesce.
Yeah. Sorry. I think I mispronounced it. Good for you. That was a
thank you.
Slick little drop of
I don't know how I pulled that out on Sunday at like 1:30 in the afternoon when we were not really planning for a pod necessarily. So I'm good.
Sunday, 1:26 p.m. for the timestamp crowd. You said something there that really interested me. I'm going to pull up 2016 and you try to gather all the numbers of this crop 2021. And let's see who's better. Deshaun is wild. He had 56 for 1,005. He's averaging 18 yards a catch. And then Crowder was at 847.
Yeah, so it's just barely.
Jordan Reed's numbers that year too.
Reed only played 12 games and had 686. Vernon had 583. And then Chris Thompson, 349.
I mean, that's pretty big time passing numbers coming from that.
Kirk almost threw for 5,000 yards. He had 4,500 yards. So some of that is a Fitz issue too. So Terry went for just over 1,000 last year, right?
Terry had 1,118 last year. Curtis Samuel had 851 last year. And let's take Humphreys, his last healthy season.
That's cherry picking.
816 and 631 is what he did in Tampa those 2 years. So let's say like 700 for Humphreys.
Again, you're cherry picking, but fine.
Yeah. So I mean, that's
if Fitz is going to throw for 500 yards a game like he did last time that he played the Washington football team, then we can expect numbers like that to pop across the board from the receivers, right?
Okay. Sarcastic Mitch. Yeah,
that was a weird bit.
I don't think they're
just cherry picking numbers now.
Listen, I don't think they'll get there because I think they'll run the ball a little bit more than that. Kirk threw the ball 600 times that year. That's not a recipe for winning. If you go to – I'm curious who threw the most passes this year, just attempts. Like Matt
– in the NFL?
Matt Ryan on a terrible team – threw 626, Brady had 610, Roethlisberger 608. I think where you'd love to be attempts-wise, think about the year Rodgers had. He only had 520 attempts. I think like 520, 550. That actually, when we get Scott Turner this offseason at some point, that's a kind of fascinating question. Is like going into a year, how many attempts do you think a quarterback should have? Well, and you know what else is skewing all this? 17 games. Here's what I got a better idea. Rank the receivers. Like who's the best? So I'm going to go Terry, Deshaun, Pierre, Curtis, Crowder, Humphreys. That's my list. Terry, Deshaun, Pierre, Curtis, Crowder, Humphreys. And there's a fairly wide delta between Crowder and Humphreys, I think. I think you can make an argument that Crowder might be better than Curtis Samuel, too. Just a different player entirely. Samuel's value is in his versatility, and I think he's still ascending. I actually think the Curtis Samuel signing could be a lot like the Pierre signing when he first came to D.C. in 2012. A guy that is thought highly around the league but was – not the number one, was kind of growing in his career. Is your list the same?
Mine's slightly different. The only change that I have is I have Samuel above Pierre. And don't get me wrong, Pierre is a tough SOB and did a ton of, you know, tough work on the outside. But I think when you look at how Samuel can be used in this offense and the versatility and how you're going to be able to get him the ball in so many different ways, I think that he could prove to, I don't think that he's a better receiver than Pierre was in 2016 right this minute. But I think when we look back at the end of the season, he might have a more impactful season than Pierre did that year. But I think 1-2 going Terry and Deshaun, you imagine 2016 Deshaun lined up opposite of, you know, 2020 or 2021 Terry McLaurin, how explosive that receiving core would be. He would be an incredible compliment to him. But yeah, I would go Terry 1, Deshaun 2, Samuel 3, Garcon 4, gap to Crowder 5, and then gap to Humphrey 6. But part of the Humphreys gap is based on health, which is who he is. You can't take that away from him. Just
let's not Ashburn this too much. Jameson Crowder's better than Adam Humphreys.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying the reason there's a big gap between the two is because of the is partially because of the injury situation he's had a couple times. If he goes out there and catches, like Pete said, the average 700 yards or 800 yards out of the slot, he's much closer to Jameson than I think we're giving him credit for.
I think if he gets you 50 catches a year, that's a little over three games, some conversions here and there. Go for 3 for 40 every week. They don't need him to necessarily be Crowder type because they're going to be featuring McLaurin so much. We know Fitzpatrick goes to his number one an overwhelming amount. And then JP's hair is just doing some crazy things on the screen.
I need to go to the barber bad.
I mean, you look like Marge Simpson at times when it's standing up. It's crazy. And Samuel, they're going to get so many touches for him too. So I think Humphreys, if he settles in between what he did in Tampa, he doesn't need to necessarily get that high, but obviously do more than Titans, then this is going to be a really prudent addition. And
what
regardless,
was the list here, Peter?
I think my list is pretty much the same as yours, but I just think the overarching point is we're not including names like Mo Harris. We're not hoping for Josh Doctson to finally break out. We have established players on offense, and it's a thrill to have guys on the depth chart who you know are going to be able to get it done as long as they're healthy. It's not they need to be healthy and they need to take 4 steps forward in their own career. They have a track record and there's good days ahead, and hell, this offense might be able to score touchdowns and win games on their own instead of having the defense have to drag them across the finish line every Sunday.
Would a prudent comparison then be who would you rather take, 2016 Kirk or 2021 Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'll let you guys answer. That shouldn't be a real question. I don't think,
yeah, I don't think it is either, but when we're giving all the, when we're
there's a lot of ash burning going on here, boys. I might need to send some vaccines.
No. As we're ranking, when you're ranking Crowder so high and Pierre,
so high, we're ranking him fifth out of sixth.
When you're saying that he's so much better than Adam Humphreys is, you got to remember that, like, whatever you thought about Kirk overall as a quarterback in Washington, he threw the pill around, and like we said, he almost threw for 5,000 yards. So there were a lot of yards to be caught. There were a lot of guys getting opportunities to catch the ball. So there were opportunities to go for 800 yards in a season like Crowder did in 2016. Just a point to make as we're breaking this whole thing down.
Your point has confused me. I wanted to, with young Peter, I think the offense should be much better. And I think you're so right about, and Mo was my guy, but like, we're not talking about Mo Harris and David Bidet and is Robert Foster the deep threat we need? He's not the deep threat we want, but is he the deep threat we need?
We're not losing our minds over Simi Cobbs getting plucked off a practice squad.
Yeah, I remember
convincing
that.
Convincing ourselves he's going to Canton in 10 years.
Yeah.
But one-handed catch from an undrafted guy in training camp, Pete's going to be all in.
Mo did have the best hands on the team, just saying. I don't know. I think – so do you think this group is better because Terry is better? Like, is that like the difference?
I don't think this group is better.
Okay.
But I
think it does.
I don't think it's better, but I think it could be if a quarterback of Kirk's competency was throwing to them this year, I think they could be pretty similar in terms of total production. But I don't think they're gonna have that kind of competency. They're not going to have that kind of level play at quarterback this year. So the numbers might not vet out, was the point that I was making in the long run.
Speaking of competency, we want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia for sponsoring this podcast. We ride with them, expect you to do the same thing. Check them out, OrsmanVA.com. 6 locations, they can take care of you. They got all kinds of cars from Toyotas to Lincolns. They got it all, baby. OrsmanVA.com.
I had a dream the other night that I was rolling around in a pickup truck after the Jason Campbell interview. So clearly something he said stuck as a worm, an earworm, and I was thinking about it. I think that's a thing, right?
Earworm?
Yeah.
I think that's what you say about like a pop song that's very catchy and gets stuck right in your head all the time.
That's exactly what I meant.
I've never heard that term, and it kind of grosses me out.
Well, you also haven't heard of Groutfit, neither of you, so you guys don't know your terms very well. I know all terms. I'm up with the terms.
Pete, I nailed my term this time. Now?
You look very sleepy.
Yeah, I'm sleepy.
Are you in Michigan?
No. I might have made a visit last night or two, but I don't know. Can't comment for sure.
I have a serious problem. I'm out of Tito's, and the
basketball's about to
leadership,
start.
The tremendous leadership of Montgomery County has liquor stores closed on Sundays. So I'm going to have to drive an extra 3 minutes to the DC line and get some Tito's.
It's okay.
I heard a rumor that I believe beer and wine are going to be able to be sold in grocery stores coming up soon here in old Montgomery County, which is
about damn time.
Wild that we're living in a time that we have to celebrate that.
What I'm not going to say is that I've never paid the slightest bit of attention to local politics in my life, but this next local politics election cycle, whatever the hell it's called, I'm going to be active. I'm going to be actively trying to get, I'm going to stop, but
I can't wait for JP to start canvassing.
I'm zero canvassing. I'm just going to actually pay attention, because when you see what these highly qualified, well-intentioned people can make happen, it's mind-blowing. And that's the end of that.
Pete, this is Civics Class 101 for you.
I'm just Team Tommy Tuberville. I'm still learning about him, so don't add more guys to me.
Did you ask
him? Also, I have no idea what he's affiliated with, and that's not a real statement. I'm joking completely. I'm sorry. Because Mitch gave a reaction.
Have you guys gone grocery shopping lately? I had to go grocery shopping today, and it was like outrageously expensive for everything. Like, and I tweeted out like, damn, what happened? Why is food so expensive? And the replies, like, you'd think I posted a picture of Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson kissing. Like, the replies I got to this thing were outrageous. And like, I like being conversational on Twitter. Like, I think it's fun. And somehow it became
political
entirely. Up with hope, down with dope. That's my campaign slogan.
For the record, I think you should post a picture of Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow kissing, because that would break the internet.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Pete, what do we know about this corner they signed from Detroit?
So, that would be Darrell Roberts. He is 30 years old, a former seventh round pick of the Patriots. Darrell Roberts' strengths, he's very fast, and that fits in with what they've done this offseason. More team speed overall, so we like that. Also, position versatility, flexibility. He can play corner, he can play outside, and he's even got a little bit of safety experience, so he can be moved around. What do we not like? He's got some penalty issues in his past, and he's just kind of inconsistent. So that's why he's a cornerback available here as we near the beginning of April. He wasn't snapped up in the first wave, but when you have Fuller and William Jackson and Jimmy Moreland, and this guy's maybe your third, fourth person, you could do worse. And Danny Johnson's in that group too. So Darrell Roberts, he's got experience. He can do a lot of different things. And as long as he's not too overexposed, not playing too many snaps, I think he could be a nice addition to the secondary.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at this is they let Fabian go. Fabian Moreau is now with the Atlanta Falcons, and this dude is replacing Fabian Moreau. Snaps, and I can't imagine the plan is for this dude to get a ton of snaps.
Total depth signing.
Yeah, and I still think they're going to draft a corner. I wouldn't be shocked if they draft a corner early. I don't know about 19. Kind of depends who's there, but I don't know. Mitch wanted to talk about the draft anyway. I just wanted to hit on that. Good job there, Pete. Major trades, obviously. We saw the Niners go up to 3. The Niners gave up a lot to go to 3. They gave up 3 first rounders to go from 12 to 3. Who do you think the QB is there? Lance?
Oh, you don't think they're going to pick they traded up to pick Kyle Pitts?
I do not.
Who in their right mind trades Kyle Pitts might be a Hall of Famer in the long run, but you're not trading that much draft capital to go up and get a tight end. I'll tell you that much.
I totally agree with you, but the only comp there is the Julio trade where Atlanta went. And you could argue that Pitts has like the elite-ness prospect-wise that Julio had, but
potentially.
I still think it's a quarterback. So it's going to be Lawrence, Wilson. I guess it's Lance. Maybe it's Fields. I'm curious who you guys think.
I've seen some people saying that might be Mac Jones, and that would be absolutely
tweeted that.
Beyond shocking to me. I think it could be Trey Lance.
Let's go 100 chips. I'll go first because you guys both seem very confused. I think Pete's still in Michigan, and Mitch is upset about the Jameson Crowder discussion. So
I'm upset about the Carver bashing to start the pod.
That was all Pete, dude. Who's stoned? What do you want me to say?
Doesn't change the fact.
Hey, relax.
I will go 70-30 Lance Fields.
I'll go 60-40 Lance Fields.
I think I'm 60-40 Fields Lance. 60-38-2 Mac Jones.
No Pitts.
No, I don't think they're taking Pitts. Even though, obviously, we know Kyle loves his tight ends, and we saw what he did with Jordan Reed, who's a...
They have George Kittle.
What's that?
They have George Kittle.
And they have George Kittle, exactly.
Ever heard of him?
So, it's one thing that I couldn't help but think of is the Shanahans, Mike and Kyle, in hindsight, after everything went nuclear with Robert, all kind of said... We weren't into that trade. We would never want to trade up like that, give up that many picks. Here we are. You're doing it. you did the – it's almost the exact same trade. Washington was a little higher up, but
I'm sure it'll be somebody else's fault if it falls through.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle bashing. But I also think, dude, it's crazy. I think Kyle's regarded as – I feel like he's regarded as probably like a top 5 coach in the NFL, something like that. Don't you think?
I'd say top 8, top 10 for sure.
Top 10, maybe not definitely. That high. I don't know about top 5, but either way, he's highly regarded.
His record is 29-35. He only has one winning 6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10. And I think largely it's because of the quarterback play and then injuries.
Also, the largest blown lead in Super Bowl history, to add that to his resume. God.
For the Falcons game, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, dude, as a coordinator and as a head coach, he's had double-digit fourth-quarter leads in the Super Bowl.
Good to get there.
Impressive to get there because that's tough enough in and of itself. Well,
dude, I don't know. I think I was arguing with Standing, somebody on Twitter, about Dan Quinn. People are trying to hype up Dan Quinn for the Cowboys. And I think he'll be better than Mike Nolan, who got awful. But – you know, that Falcons team, that offense was loaded. They were number one in the NFL. They were just scoring at wild pace. I mean, Kyle can run some offense, man. I think Kyle's a really good coach. It's just, it's interesting to me they're going all in for the third pick. And so what does this mean for Washington? Washington is not going all in for a quarterback. We know that. But it's funny, man, that they could have. Like, you see the other teams doing this stuff, and you kind of wonder, like, man, should the WFT be making these moves? Like, we talk about attacking success, and you look at McVay and Kyle have identified what they want and are going all in to get it. And meanwhile, Washington signed Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, you quote tweeted the graphic of teams trading up and how there's been a lot more busts than hits. Like, going all in is definitely a sexy thing, and attacking success should be praised. But attacking success doesn't just mean you get success, and they still have to execute it right. So, I mean, I've been praising Washington for taking Ryan Fitzpatrick and using him as the one-year answer and being patient. I mean, there comes a time where you have to do it, but with their current draft position and how much promise they showed in year one, I like that Ron is just sticking to the plan instead of trying to use one light season of winning to completely throw away what he was thinking and just go up and get the best quarterback he could. So,
and you know what? I agree with you, Pete. I largely agree with that. I'm just saying there are lots of blueprints. Like, yeah, whenever he's freaking out about losing Kyle Smith, like, there's lots of good scouts and personnel people across the league. Like, there's lots of ways to do this.
Right. The time for them to swing big will be eventually, and probably next offseason is kind of the deadline for them to get a real quarterback answer in there, but it didn't need to happen now. Mitch, I stepped on you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I feel like kind of conventional wisdom in the NFL is you have kind of a 3 to 5 year window when you start getting good to kind of win a Super Bowl, and then you got to start re-signing players and it gets difficult to keep it going. I would semi-argue that both the Rams and Niners are chasing at this point. The Niners traded for Garoppolo, gave him a S ton of money. He turned out to kind of not be the guy. And now I think they're kind of feeling like we got to go get the guy now because we made this big commitment to do so. The Rams did the same thing when they went and made that big deal.
The Garoppolo deal's not even bad. Like, it's not even a bad deal now. He's getting like 22. Dak just got 40. You hate Kyle so much that it impacts how you view the Niners.
They gave him 137 or 157, whatever the number was, million dollars off of very little time seen on the field.
Okay.
More off of name than it was anything else. It was maybe the bigger point. Do you want to be paying a backup quarterback $22 million a year for the next, whatever, 3 years that they still have him?
And so Jimmy's on the books this year for 28. So it's gone up.
And the Rams went all in for Goff. Obviously, they decided Goff wasn't the guy. And then they made another big deal to get Stafford. I think these are two teams that feel like they're in a window right now and are kind of chasing it. And I think as much as I wanted Washington to take a big swing for Deshaun or Russ Wilson or whoever else they were going to go after, I think that I don't think they're at a point that they need to chase to get the quarterback because there's still other positions they need to fill almost across the board where they need depth and they need to get starters at linebacker and tackle and, you know, wherever else they, you know, whatever else we feel like they need to do that. If I think next year, maybe if things continue to progress this year, as they did last year, next year would be a year to go for your big swing. But I think, but as far as the Rams and Niners go, I think they're chasing a little bit. I think they both feel pressure to win now and get that quarterback to take them there.
I feel like chasing maybe is an unfair maybe with the Niners, but I mean the Rams were in the division round of the playoffs and had Goff was hurt. Like, they made it. But here's the other part of that is I think both those dudes are going to be all gas no matter what. Like, I guess Kyle had to do a legit rebuild there when he got there, but I don't think Sean is stopping. Like they traded for Jalen Ramsey. Like, they don't care about picks. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of similar with the Saints. Like, the salary cap just doesn't exist if you're willing to shell out the cash and just keep kicking it. Like, it's a different mindset. And I think maybe with the Niners, because they haven't had the success, but I think the Rams are just going to be kind of constantly all in. And I don't think that's a terrible place to be. Like, you're
going to have to pay the piper at some point.
Washington's not there right now, but a year from now, maybe it is all in time and you should just stay all in.
I think it has to do kind of where the coaches are in their tenures. I mean, kind of year one and year two for every coach, the program's still new, but eventually, even if you're as good as McVay or Shanahan, you always have to, you know, if you've been there 6 years, it just, there's always kind of that threat of getting fired the one time you slip up. So for them, they just want to keep pedal to the metal and making sure they don't slip up. Ron still has the newness. I think after this year, though, it's going to be, all right, this guy's been here 2 years, you know, his contract's coming up, and then he'll be in constant win now mode because you don't really have a choice. It's not like being a college coach where you have a 10-year contract.
McVay's been a coach for 4 seasons in the NFL. Do you know his win percentage?
642.
Oh, wow. I was going to say 650.
67% of his games.
Yeah.
He's 43-21.
But, like, it's always going to, you know, he's set such a high standard. The second he playoff,
they still went 9-7.
Yeah. But he knows they're used to this sort of excellence. And if he ever stumbles a little bit, it's going to be like, all right, it's kind of old. He's bumping his head against the ceiling. We need a new guy. I think Rivera just hasn't gotten to the point where he's kind of looked at as, you know, old news in Washington yet. He's still got the shine. So he can take his time a little more.
Knowing Sean, I don't think he's thinking about his career longevity. That's just who he is. He's just like, we're going to win the MFing Super Bowl. Anyway, good discussion. The Eagles got in the action. They moved back from 6 to 12. Miami goes back up to 6. I think Miami's going to end up getting Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts, which is just outrageous. I love what the Dolphins do.
I appreciated the reporters on Friday who, after all the dust settled, just put out a redone, here's what's happening in the top 12, because there are some multiple trades happening at once. I had no idea who was picking where, so I appreciated, you know, Field Yates or whoever sent out the updated order. The Eagles, without their tanking in week 17, wouldn't have been able to pull off that trade with the Dolphins, and they kind of get a free first rounder next year. So congrats, Doug Peterson. Nobody cares about you anymore, but the Eagles are kind of thrilled with you, I guess.
I don't think that trade is as awesome as people are making it out to be for Philly. Like, if you were at 6 and you could get Pitts or Chase,
yeah,
versus now you're going to be at 12 and you're going to get somebody that could be good, certainly. But I mean, I think you got QBs the first 4 spots. I think it'll go Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields to Atlanta. So then 5 and 6, I think somebody might take that tackle. Like, going from 6 to 12 and then picking up Miami's first next year, which will probably be like the 23rd overall pick. Like, I'd rather the chance at the elite guy. But what do I know?
Here's the thing. Everyone keeps saying that next year Miami's pick might be 23rd, and it certainly could be. But if Tua plays the way that he did this year, that pick could easily be 10. You know, that, like, they might not, they're not guaranteed. They're getting a lot better. Miami is, and they're getting better quick, but I don't know that they have their answer at quarterback. And as we all know, if you don't have your answer at quarterback, you might not be, you know, taking those steps. But you also have to point out that Philly might have 3 first rounders next year with, if Wentz plays more than 70% of the snaps in Indy. So if Philly's clearly looking at this as a multi-year rebuild, or at least a test the market this year, see what they got. And next year they're going to have at least 2 firsts and maybe 3. It's a fine move. It's by no means attacking success, you know, as we talk about.
It might be, though, because sometimes you got to attack for the long haul. You know what I mean?
When you're in traffic and you have like a slow car in front of you, but you want to get ahead of it. Sometimes you got to slow down to move over a lane that's moving faster, and then you can speed around that other guy. So,
or in Mitch's case, you just, you know, you stick out your middle finger and honk your horn and stay in the left lane the entire time.
That's, hey, sweetie, get out of the way.
That's the Sean McVay way of driving, and it works for you.
I mean, we'll see. It's just, it's interesting, gentlemen, that you say, you know, Miami has these quarterback questions and it might not go as well as everybody's thinking. I think Miami and Washington are kind of similar in that they have a good young defense. Both of you are I'm watching you, because I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about the syndrome, because it seems to be spreading.
I'm gonna keep busting through the worries there. They have a veteran quarterback who's a known quantity most of the time and can also be a badly known quantity. And they have really good receivers.
Highly combustible quantity. Like,
okay. But I also know he's not Dwayne Haskins or Kyle Allen. He's got a nice
like
potential.
Right. It's not Dwayne Haskins throwing to Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Sometimes I'm so worried about, we're so scared of Ashburn syndrome that we convince ourselves we have it when we could just be outside playing in the sun and enjoying ourselves. Maybe this is just a good offense immediately. Listen, after a couple nice signings.
It's just like COVID world. Like, you get a little sick, you could have COVID, but there's also every other cold and flu that's out there normally. Just because you're not feeling well doesn't mean you necessarily have Ashburn syndrome. That's all I'm going with. By no means am I at Pete where he's overly excited at the Fitzpatrick signing, but I do think that the offense is going to be better this year than it was last year. And to that point, you would think that that would help overall make the team more dangerous than it was. So I don't know that – I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to go win 13 games next year, but I think they can be – I think they can be better than they were last year, which is a step in the right direction.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
I think we're about done here unless there's something specific you guys need to address. I have a couple random things to talk about.
I like random things.
I think it could be a quieter week for the old football team. We'll see.
As we've been discussing the name.
Sure. Go ahead.
As we've been discussing the name stuff, I've realized my biggest pet peeve with keeping Washington football is that when you, and maybe you guys, maybe I'm not Googling, efficiently, but it's almost tough to Google for Washington football stuff because University of Washington Huskies football stuff pops up when you Google Washington football quarterback or Washington football, you know, draft or drafts or something like that. You have to always put in the NFL qualifier to get Washington football team NFL stuff.
That is odd. Maybe you are an inefficient Googler. I do not have that problem. I also just leave a lot of pages open. Hmm. So maybe it's like corresponding to my search history. I don't know. What browser are you using?
Google.
Yeah.
Oh, Safari.
That might be, use Chrome because then it stores all your search history.
Yeah. Or just do Washington NFL instead of Washington football. That's shorter and more specific.
That's what I've learned is that I need to do Washington NFL, but it's rather annoying.
Is interesting. I got a text from our friend Dalton in New York, and he was saying that, like, maybe in the market, like for us that are so immersed in this, the idea of a new name seems silly, but the rest of the country just clowns Washington all the time for not having a name. Like, whenever I do a radio hit out of market, like I just did Baltimore last week, and they're like, you guys still don't have a name? What the heck? Like, so I think for fans that are out of the area, it's a real pain in the butt. I also think a lot of that is like, it's kind of funny that I'm going to blame the media, but like how organizations say football team instead of just Washington, like don't list Cowboys, Giants, football team, Eagles, just list Washington. And I think that would help a lot. I don't know, man, the name stuff, people are so, the name stuff is the same thing as Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson kissing. There's a deeply spirited debate about that, and I'm happy to just kind of exist. Like I'm cool with Washington football team. I know that there are lots of people that want a name and lots of people that don't. So what do you want, Pete? I don't know if we've got you on the record.
I think we did.
I want a name. Yeah, football team is fine. It should never be beyond a placeholder, though. And if it's ever permanent and not the placeholder, if it's one P and not the other, it's going to be annoying and kind of embarrassing.
I just like the thought of there being a room where there's a name debate going on and a room where Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow are kissing and JP's just a fly on the wall.
JP's just both. Hanging out by himself. I want the Washington Wolves, not Red Wolves. Don't force Red in there. Wolves. Cool uniforms, great game day atmosphere. Logo is going to be cool with like a claw scratching around. It's excellent. Be the Washington Wolves.
All right. Mitchell, you got a name?
I'm fine. I'm fine with Washington football team. If they feel like they need to do a nickname, I do like Red Wolves. Just I think that there's a lot of things that you can do with it that are unique to the NFL and can obviously keep, you know, red / burgundy and gold and all that kind of stuff as colors, which is, I think, A1, the most important thing. But I'm fine with Washington football team. I'm like you. I whatever they decide to do, just decide to do it. It's not, I don't think it's make or break one way or the other, but if they do decide they have to have a nickname, I'm cool with Red Bulls.
All right. I like those. I like not changing it. I'm good with whatever. So I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out online, oarsmanva.com. They got every car you can think of. They'll sell it to you. They'll lease it to you. They might rent it to you. They got options. We are doing a fantasy baseball league. Do you guys want to have a side bet on this? It's a 12-person keeper league that Pete and Mitch are taking over. I don't even know whose team you're taking over, but you guys are joining the league. I share my team with Mike Miller, so who we all know. I'm all for co-GMs. Baseball's hard to keep up with. I'll side action whatever you guys want. And this is just finish, like how we finish.
Yeah.
Even if we don't make the playoffs, it's like 7-8 or whatever.
Right, right. Okay. It gives us an incentive to finish all the way to game 162, play it all the way through the regular season.
A lot of games.
Are they playing 162?
I think it's 150-something. No idea. I don't care enough to look it up. Maybe I should now that I'm a GM, a co-GM.
Co-GM.
Me and Mitch are like the Martys. We're Martin and Marty. We're collaborating. It's everybody, you know, together. Nobody's
– You're stalling on the bet.
I think we're much more like Michael and Jim than we are Martin and Marty.
Okay.
Co senior manager.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Let's make it fun. You have to like not just money. Let's make it like
Like an embarrassing act or something.
I was thinking like cook dinner or something, but yeah, it could be embarrassing. How about this? I got it. The losing duo has to caddy for the winning duo.
Your co-manager?
Miller.
Oh.
I'm listening. That sounds hysterical and fun, and I love the idea of really good at golf Miller having a caddy for me when I'm shanking it all over.
Right. Miller's like a four. I think that's the bet. But like listen, you have to get the caddy outfit.
Oh. And you have to towel down the full
whites.
And like
you're
not playing, like you're only caddying.
You're raking bunkers. You're doing everything. You're marking the ball. Yeah.
All right. I'm in on this. This will be fun. The idea of Pete and Miller potentially having to caddy for us is silly.
Correct.
I mean, with JP and Miller.
All right.
Yeah, that's great. Miller doesn't know we just made this bet, but I'm going to wait.
He's 100% in on it.
So Banks, dude. So I got like bunnies in my yard. I might have a fox in my yard. There's a lot of stuff going on in my yard. And usually at night, I let Banks out. He loves it. He chases him around. He barks. He goes nuts. You guys may have seen or heard him do it.
Yes.
So last week, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, maybe like 10 days ago, I let him out. He chases him. And then it's like he's hurt. And I have to run out there. I have to carry him inside. And my neighbor's convinced that he got bitten by a fox. So I'm like scrubbing him down, trying to see if he's bleeding anywhere. He wasn't, luckily, thank goodness. And so I mean, he's a big dog. He's 75 pounds or whatever. I had to carry him inside. I just put him on his little bed. I sleep on the couch next to him so he doesn't move around anything. Next morning, he's like kind of fine. Like he's just walking around. He's eating. He's, you know, drinking his water all as well. So we finally got him to the vet. I don't know the medical canine term, but like kind of like his hip He almost like tore a ligament, for lack of a better word.
He had that surgery?
The woman, the vet said, like, if it was 1 inch, centimeter, if it was a little bit higher, he'd have to have surgery. But luckily he doesn't. It's just rest for like a month. That dog doesn't want to rest. Like, the dog to rest is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
So that's the update on Banks, but he's fine. Like, he's cool. He's laying down. He's chilling. All's well. I know you were both.
You want to know a fun Carver update?
Sure.
When I was in Indianapolis, he...
Where'd he go? Your parents?
Yeah, he stayed with my parents. And he learned how to get out of his collar. So he learned how to, like, back up to put tension on the leash so that it was, like, tight on the collar and, like, buck his head up and down and get free of the collar. And so my parents told me about this, and I was like, oh, he's never done that before. No big deal. Out the other night walking him. Lo and behold, there he goes. Starts booking it around. Thank God he knows where the house is, because he just, like, he just runs right back to the house and sits down at the front door. But man, that gave me a couple heart palpitations.
Yeah, I mean, this is no insult to you, but if it's a foot race, I think I'm taking Carver over you just because he's smaller and faster.
What's great about it is that he wants to race, but it'll only go so far in front before he turns around and is like, where the F are you? Like, hurry up. And I'm like, all right, I'm coming.
Yeah. Don't get out of your collar, damn it. Well, I'm glad both your dogs are okay.
So I had a 3-1 day in the Sweet 16 yesterday, but might have something to do with running out of Tito's. I was quite excited for the last game and still lost money on a 3-1 day.
You can't do that.
It's a big bet. Well, I imagine the big man took a bath on it too, because we all like Syracuse.
Well, I had a three-team parlay that the last leg of it was Houston. And like you,
You told us all to take Syracuse and you love Syracuse, and now you're parlaying Houston?
Why are you parlaying also? Those are bad. Yeah,
that's a good question. But it was a –
Let's answer these questions.
It was a Houston money line ad. It was a Houston money line on the parlay. I liked Syracuse to cover, which I stuck with. I then got froggy and figured I had a big-ass middle and took Syracuse second half. I took Syracuse second half and lo and behold, what should have been a big day turned into just a day.
I almost took Syracuse second half, and I was like, you know what? What if they just suck tonight? Like, I backed off.
How are JP you? JP loves taking the second half team that's like sagging. Always is trying to get a second half line to see them bounce back. Good job.
How annoying is it for you guys that I can't figure out how to get second half lines,
it's
and I only
can text? Infuriating. Infuriating.
You also like don't know how to represent what a second half line is.
Yeah, it's so annoying. You're always asking, do you not have access to any internet or any sort of gambling site? I mean, you're helpless.
Like,
actually, makes me mad.
FanDuel, Gambit, all them, you can open up outside of the state and look at what the numbers are. You just can't.
Yeah, you know what, guys, you know, I do things for you, okay? Like, we're all in it together.
I know.
Pete, how are you doing? You said Kim wants you to stop betting.
Can you recite line that you sent us from Kim? Because that was gold.
Yeah, she said, because I, you know, we were sitting on the couch watching something, and then I just took out my little bet book and scribbled another bet. She goes, oh, great, another bet. Why don't you just start writing down the bets, but not, you know, submitting actual money so you can just grade yourself and bet against yourself? Because I'm just kind of in this no man's land. I'm negative something, but it's not enough to pay, but it's far enough away from the positives where I'm just kind of swimming and going nowhere. And she thinks I should just stop and just start basically betting play money. And that's not the same.
Has Kim offered to start booking your action for you?
Yeah.
No, not yet. But yeah, she's just kind of mortified that it's so often I'm scribbling my notebook 20 times a day, but I'm doing okay.
I thought you gave yourself, you weren't going to bet more than 10 times a day or something. Is that over?
It's hard when you guys are constantly texting. Mitch loves this thing, and I never want to miss Hot Mitch in case he's right. And then JP just says like funny lines, like, "Oh, Villanova, I'm never going to take Villanova against the spread," and it makes me laugh. So I just take that, and there I go. I got 7 bets before 6 p.m., and then I like Russell Westbrook to have a triple double.
You got to stop the player prop stuff, dude, because that is just like this never-ending world for you. It's like You open you also the get portal so a million things.
Yeah.
Pick winners.
I'm okay. I'm doing okay.
What's the first number? Six?
-4. -4.
Oh, you're all right.
Yeah. So that's what the parlay was yesterday. It was just picking winners. I had Oregon State, Baylor, and Houston as my money line parlay, but I got too froggy with Syracuse second half and gave back too much.
I was foggy, rather froggy, and you helped me to my car. All right. That was random. So let's close this out. All right. Let's
go quickly on the pod. Who do you like today?
What do we got?
Creighton. I took all four unders because all of the unders hit yesterday. So I'm being nice and reactionary and just assuming that's going to happen again.
Like, Pete, I could have guessed that that was the direction you were going to go. And I hope that it stays that way, but it can't.
I know.
That's so stupid.
I know.
I like Creighton with the points.
My favorite is the last game of the night. I like USC to kind of house Oregon.
So then you have Oregon in a money line parlay somewhere else, probably?
No.
I will go the other way on you. I like Oregon to win.
In that case, we should hypothetically
save the juice.
Yeah.
I have no feel on that Criminals Michigan game. And I weirdly might like UCLA, even though Bama was an effing freight train last time we saw him.
That's a good reason to like UCLA. That's partially part of the reason I like USC is that Oregon looked unstoppable against dummy Iowa.
Yeah, but nobody watched that game because it was on at 11 o'clock at night. So the money's on the Trojans.
No, I don't want to hear this because this infects my thinking. JP always has this like the money's on this team, so I'm going to go the other way. And sometimes the money's right. I don't want to hear any of this anymore.
So wait, Pete, you're just on all four unders?
I'm on all the unders, and then I took NBA under as well.
Time check. It's 2:10 on Sunday. So right now, how many bets do you have in?
I have 5.
So 4 unders and what else?
And then I took under in Suns Hornets, which is going on right now. We can see what's happening there.
All right, let's see. Live look.
Live. You're Suns looking live.
49-49 at halftime. That is so low scoring.
My 98? What's the over under?
Thunder Day.
219.
Have a good Thunder Day.
Sunday. Anytime you see an NBA game before like 2 p.m. tip off, you take the under because those dudes were out drinking champagne in their hotel rooms and stuff. I would assume.
But Pete has 5 bets in by 2 o'clock. Will he finish the day under 12 bets?
Ooh, 12 is a big number.
It's going to go under 12. I can't have
that. I think under 12. But JP, you and I can influence this by just texting random plays that we like.
All right, Lauren's home. I'm in the kitchen. She's going to kick me out. Let's end this podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Orsman Automotive of Virginia for hooking us up and sponsoring this content. Thank you to Pete and Mitch for being close friends and always giving me second half lines. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Washington football team continues to make moves to improve its roster, but now it kind of seems like all eyes are looking to the NFL draft in late April for the next major moves by the organization. Plus, we got to talk about what will happen during what could be a quiet week, but whenever you think it's going to be a quiet week is when news goes off. You never know with the Washington football team. Pete, you're right. This is awful. I'm going to start over. Sorry.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.